A very good afternoon to you all, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to extend the most cordial welcome to the Honduran delegation. And you're particularly welcome because the delegation is being led by a woman, just as the whole country. So this shows how you are trying to reduce violence. This is nothing new. I remember that whenever we travel around Central America, we've had to try and defend the safety of the first human rights commissioner in the 1990s. So I do hope that this committee will contribute to the rebuilding of the rule of law and the social state, and to eradicate the last traces of the narco dictatorship which you referred to. Obviously, the committee cannot ignore the circumstances which led to a former President of the Republic being extradited to the United Nations because he was involved in that narco dictatorship. So there are still 18 months left in the current administration, so time is pressing, as it is for me to ask my questions. So we will try to make progress on this joint work because we are under time pressure. We've got to deal with the prevalence of violence in your country and also the prevalence of the use of force for resolving any situations in society. So I'd like to ask you the following question. Has the Honduran state considered the need to rethink the role played by the armed forces in public order operations? And have you realized the high risk of there being human rights violations when members of the armed forces are involved in implementing security policies? As Mr. Quesada, the member of the committee, mentioned, there are a number of bills before the Congress to regulate the use of force. Nevertheless, we'd like to know, at what stage of discussions are they at? They haven't yet been adopted as laws, so they are still bills, and we'd like to know how far they have got towards being adopted. We'd also like to know about the state's immediate and medium-term plans to tackle violence in the country. We do hope that they are policies which do not require a state of emergency, because that tends to undermine people's human rights. And a last question today concerns measures adopted to prevent extrajudicial killings, including extrajudicial killings perpetrated by private individuals, non-state actors. And also, what about enforced disappearances? And we'd like to know, what is the current status of the draft on comprehensive reparations for victims of human rights violations or acts or omissions attributed to the state? So how far has that bill